lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
As we study the life of Christ, let me remind you that there is no way that we're going to be able to cover every aspect of our Savior's life. Just as John said in John chapter 21, verse 25, he said, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. Well, we are studying the life of Christ, and what I'm trying to do is look at some of the high points, and of course they're all high points, but I want to cover just some of these things that many of us are familiar with, but we sort of just take for granted. And we are looking right now at the miracles of Christ, some of them, of course. As we think of the miracles, one of the miracles that Christ did was raising the dead. In John chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead." We know now the account of how Lazarus had died and how that Jesus came and he raised him from the dead. And then in verse 9 of John chapter 12, the Bible says, "Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead." Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And then in verse 17 of John chapter 12, it says, "The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record." Well, here you have eyewitnesses of something that took place, eyewitnesses of the raising of Lazarus. And of course, I'm sure there were people around who did not want to see this. They did not want to give Christ credit for this, of raising Lazarus from the dead. So you would have those people going about lying, saying that he didn't. But once again, they are trying to discredit Jesus Christ. He is God. And they were trying to discredit this. These people were lost who were discrediting him and saying that he is simply a man, that he is a charlatan, he is a fake. But there's too many eyewitnesses that saw this take place, the raising of Lazarus. And if you would, turn with me to Mark chapter 5, and we'll read of another miracle that took place, the raising of the dead. Mark chapter 5, verses 35 and 36. It says, "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" Well, this is about a man whose daughter was sick, and he came to get Jesus to help him. And while they were on the way, and while they were there and speaking, someone came to him and said, "Don't trouble the master, for your daughter is dead." And verse 36 goes on to say, "As soon as Jesus heard the words that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe." And we go ahead now in chapter 5 of Mark and read in verses 41 and 42. It says, "And he took the damsel by the hand," this is Jesus now, "and said unto her, Talitha, Kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment." The people who were there, they saw this. They saw it take place, that this young girl was raised from the dead. So, as we look at this, notice that the acceptance of Jesus as from God by the ruler of the Jews. this is because of miracles that Jesus performed. Now notice, in John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Well, the ruler of this young lady, this young girl, he recognized Jesus Christ as God, the same as Nicodemus did in John chapter 3. So we see the raising of the dead. Now, notice, those who opposed Jesus knew and acknowledged that Jesus did many miracles, according to John chapter 11 and verse 47. It says there, "Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, Well, what do we?" In other words, what are we going to do? "For this man doeth many miracles." They were at a loss. They couldn't comprehend what was going on. They did not want the power taken away from them. And they considered Jesus a man. They did not want him having the preeminence. So they said, "What are we going to do? This man doeth many miracles." So we see that even the religious leaders of the day, these people were against Jesus, but they had to acknowledge that this man did many miracles. Well, notice now with me, if you would, what did the miracles of Jesus prove? Well, according to the Old Testament prophets, when Messiah would come to earth, he would set people free, physically and spiritually. In Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert." Jesus was fulfilling this. In Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Well, Jesus did these things. He was fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies about the miracles. Well, the Jews believed that when Christ, the Messiah, came, he would do miracles. Because we read in John chapter 7 and verse 31, it says, "And many of the people believed on him and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done?" Well, in other words, he's Christ. But, you know, if there was another one coming, could he do more? Well, they knew the answer to that, and they realized that, that is, those who believed in Christ as the Savior and as God, they knew that he was the Christ, and nobody could do any more than he was doing. He was fulfilling the Old Testament scriptures about miracles. Well, Christ performed an undeniable miracle in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 22. And the people were amazed according to that. And let's read that in Matthew chapter 12, verse 22 and 23. "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David?" Well, the people's expression, "the son of David," is a messianic title. Note this, that the Jews knew that their Messiah would be a descendant of David. And of course, Christ was, not from the man, but from the woman. And this is where a lot of people get confused. Jesus was the Son of God. He was born of the Spirit of God. He was conceived. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ had an earthly person who would be his adopted father. He did not have an earthly father as such who gave him life through Mary. the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, we read in the Word of God, and she conceived and bare a son. His name would be called Jesus. He was called Jesus. He is the Son of David. Well, Christ gave the Jews all the evidence they needed to prove that he was everything he claimed to be. Jesus was approved by God the Father, who backed up Jesus' claim. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, Peter, of course, preached a great message on the day of Pentecost, and many people got saved. But notice Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Justice today, no person has an excuse of not accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and as God, because we have all the witness around us, and we hear of the miracles that he did, and we see them in the Word of God. There is no excuse for a person not accepting Jesus as Savior. Well, what are your spiritual credentials? Suppose you share this with your friends. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will receive complete forgiveness of sins. What authority do you have to make such a statement? What right do you have to make such a promise? How can you speak with such authority about spiritual things? Who will back you back up that statement? The Word of God will back you up all the way if you have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Well, there's many other things we could talk about, the miracles that Christ did. But notice, the miracle of the new birth is the greatest miracle of all. For the last 2,000 years, the spiritual miracle of salvation has been repeated again and again, as God has been adding to his church daily. He has this miracle given to us. This greater miracle, has it taken place in your life? If so, have you been telling others about the crucified and risen Savior, so that they might trust in him and experience this miracle as well? Well, we're just nobodies telling everybody about somebody who can powerfully and miraculously and permanently and eternally save anybody. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save people who are lost. And this is something that people need to realize today, that he's still in the saving business, if I could use that term, that word business. Jesus Christ wants to save everybody. If a person dies and goes to hell, it's their own fault, because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But God promises us through his word that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you've never trusted him today, you need to trust him right now. You need to be willing to come to him faith believing and admitting that you're a sinner. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That word "all" means you, and it means me. Thank God I trusted him as my Savior, and I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But what about you? Have you admitted that you're lost and you are a sinner? Admit that today. The Bible says repent. That means to have a change of mind, to come to Jesus Christ and receive him as your Lord and Savior. Admit that you can't save yourself, that he is the only one who can save you. Admit that he is God, and he is the one who performed all of these miracles. And let me tell you this, Jesus Christ loves you, and he wants you to know him as Savior today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.